We like to call him our own Dr. Love here on Twin Cities News Talk. He's not aware of this, but he's also known as lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. My name is John Justice. Good morning, Jeff. You've answered the call, and I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me call in.
So, listen, before I even get to any questions with regard to what the Colorado Supreme Court has done, I'll just kind of hand it over to you. So, probably the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Trump couldn't be on the ballot. They're looking at the 14th Amendment as the reason to do so. This is more than likely going to get kicked up to the Supreme Court. But I'm wondering, as you look at this, what aspects of it, from your perspective, do you find most interesting? What's sort of your instinctive reaction to what happened?
Well, it's not incredibly surprising. I mean, it is an all the Colorado Supreme Court, seven justices, all seven of them appointed by Democrat governors. Interestingly, it was a 4-3 decision. It's definitely going to head to the U.S. Supreme Court for decision, because now you have a split. You've got Michigan and Minnesota not disqualifying President Trump from the ballot, and Colorado disqualifying him. So the Supreme Court's going to get dragged. The U.S. Supreme Court's going to get dragged into this at some point, which I'm sure they will love, adding yet another Donald Trump-related case to their docket. But the interesting thing, it's a 213-page document with the majority opinion as well as the dissenting opinions, and the dissenting opinions, of course, come from justices that part of the three that disagreed with the decision. And I do think the interesting thing for me is in those dissents, when you're reading the dissents of justices who are very likely not fans of the former president, but focusing in on the way that it was determined that an insurrection had taken place. And it sounds like from what I understand, there was a rather expedited hearing on that issue. Part of the evidence submitted was the report of the January 6th committee, which we know had there were some that challenged the makeup of that committee, and that there were Republicans that were submitted, their names were submitted to the committee and rejected, and the two that were named were two that were the most outspoken critics of the president and supporters of his impeachment. So what the dissenting justices focus on is that due process, procedural due process, was not carried out. There was no discovery. What they're saying is there wasn't ample time for the president's side of the case to question, cross-examine, get the evidence, the witnesses for the other side, for the side supporting disqualification and proffering their own evidence. So, if I had to look at if this goes ends up to the U.S. Supreme Court and is ultimately reversed, I think that's going to be the point on which they reverse, is that you're taking somebody off of the primary ballot for the presidential election, that without affording proper due process in terms of determining their issue, John, is how do you determine whether or not an insurrection has taken place,
right,
for the purposes of the 14th Amendment? And I thought, and I read through their arguments in the dissents were very persuasive, and even one of them even noted, we're talking about the leading Republican presidential candidate, and they put in parentheses, and by many accounts, the leading presidential candidate at the moment. So they pointed out, you're talking about knocking off the presidential front runner on an expedited process. And so that to me is probably the most interesting aspect of this case is what the dissenting opinion set forth.
So when it comes to the Supreme Court, how likely, and I know we're trying to, predict here, look at the crystal ball, but this is focused on this is about the primary. So this is about Colorado's state primary as opposed to the general election. And I've heard an argument be made that the Supreme Court may be reluctant to go and rule on this. And I believe that in what the Supreme Courts that ruled in favor of this, in what they wrote, they actually quoted Gorsuch, with regard to states' rights. And I saw a lot of those on the left that were trying to use that to dunk on the GOP, that, you know, even the GOP's own guy is stating that they're right on this. So do you think that the Supreme Court's going to be reluctant to rule simply because this is the state's primary and they don't want to get involved in that?
Well, here's what might happen, John, because as I understand it, I read some different articles on this, and the way it's worded, the opinion is stay. The decision is, the order is stayed until January 4th, 2024, which is the deadline for the Colorado Secretary of State to certify a candidate to the presidential primary election ballot in Colorado by law. And the way it's worded, it sounds as if it's not a matter of if the, you know, it's not a stay based on the Supreme Court overturning the order, reversing the order by that date. It sounds as if as long as someone petitions the Supreme Court for review by that date, that he can still remain on the ballot. So it's, you know, you can see a scenario where the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, slow walks. Whether, you know, or maybe they accept the case, you know, at some point, maybe they don't rule on it for a period of time to render the whole thing moot.
We had a talk back. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and play it. You may or may not be able to hear it here. I'm going to play a talk back that speaks to this issue, Jeff.
Good morning, John. This is what's going to happen with the Colorado decision. It's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. They're going to take it up almost immediately. They're going to rule a stay. And it's probably going to happen before Christmas.
Kind of leaning into what you were saying, and I don't know and this is getting a little bit into the weeds, and you may or may not know, but in terms of procedure with the Supreme Court, this is an issue that they could go and put out an opinion rather quickly on. Correct?
Yeah, the way that the Supreme Court works is they do have these emergency orders. Every justice is assigned to a particular circuit in terms of circuits in terms of who could, you know, how you appeal into to a on an emergency basis kind of an interim order pending full review by the court. Definitely during the period of the Roberts Court here, most recently the current court, they are loath to issue these emergency orders. I think there's definitely a preference for, a full hearing in front of the court where all the justices are there to ask questions and make decisions. So, I don't know. I honestly don't know who the justice is that oversees that circuit that encompasses Colorado. And I don't know what their tendency is going to be for any kind of emergency relief. A lot of times you'll see the justices deny these emergency petitions and the media runs out and says, oh my gosh, they did this. I'm like, yeah, that's the emergency petition. Wait till don't read too much into that. This court doesn't like to do those orders. So we'll see if they do something. But like I said, given the way that the Colorado Supreme Court set it up, they literally could slow walk it. To the point where once he's on the ballot, they may just, I think Colorado's on Super Tuesday in March, so they literally could just drag their feet for a few months and then render the whole case moot.
Well, okay, but to that, this is what I'm wondering is, the ruling that the Colorado Supreme Court gave said that even if Trump was written in, the Secretary of State would throw out the write-in votes for Trump. So if the court delayed their decision until the ballots were put up, could the state still not, depending on the court's ruling, just throw out any of the votes that people vote on with Trump being on the primary ballot?
Well, like I said, the order is stayed pending a filing of a petition for review with the U.S. Supreme Court. So, my guess is that between now and January 4th, Trump's lawyers are going to file a petition for review with the U.S. Supreme Court, which would then kick in that it's basically stayed pending decision of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Before I let you go, when it comes to what our Minnesota Supreme Court ruled in not removing Trump from the ballot, I know they left the door open. If, just for the sake of argument, the Supreme Court decided to stay out of it, let the Colorado Supreme Court, you know, move forward with their decision, does our Minnesota Supreme Court then have the option based off of the ruling in Colorado to go and change moving forward? I think it'd be too late for the primary, but what about the general? Does it have an impact on them?
It would, because if you remember from the decision, the Minnesota decision, it ruled in two parts and it dismissed the, it handled the, you know, the primary issue, but it also said that the general election issue was not yet ripe for determination because the Republicans hadn't had their primaries and they hadn't yet necessarily voted. You don't know if he's going to be even on the primary ballot. They weren't going to take the choice away from the party in the primary. And then, but I think the wording in the order was they dismissed the contest about the general election without prejudice, meaning it can be refiled again and they can rehear it.
Gotcha.
So Minnesota could revisit its decision at a later date if this were allowed to stand, or if the Supreme Court affirms it. So there's a lot more coming on this. It's certainly interesting.
It's a mess. Hey, before I let you go, what do you think of our new state flag?
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I put you on the spot there, Jeff. I could let you go.
not a fan. The best statement I ever saw online about it was the way that they have the abstract shape of the state. One could argue that the lighter blue portion on the right hand side looks almost like a abstract shape of the state of Wisconsin. So we literally have the state of Wisconsin on half of our state.
I hadn't heard that one yet, but I can totally see that as well. Hey man, thank you for coming on this morning on short notice. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And again, Jeff, thank you for all the insight you've given to us throughout the year. Looking forward to having that continue next year, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks, John. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.